Today, we're actually going to brew a batch of beer.
A couple of weeks ago, I had the pleasure of hosting a Q&A panel session at the Whiplash Saturate launch in the Tap House in Ranelagh. On the panel was Alex Laws, head brewer of Whiplash, David Guffoyle, head brewer of Trouble Brewing, Colin Heshen, owner of El Mulligan Grocer's Craft Beer Pub, and Kevin from Stone Barrel Brewing, or Third Circle, or Barrel, which I can't even remember myself. But have a listen. It's about 40 minutes long. Audio is live and pretty much unedited from the event itself. So there's a bit of banter, a bit of good Q&As with the crowd. And obviously, hopefully you get a flavour of how the night was. If you do see Body Riddle, Saturate, in fact, any of the Whiplash beers, make sure you get them, particularly Saturate and Body Riddle, which are obviously in small enough quantities. So for your audio pleasure, stay tuned for an awesome night at the Tap House. Thanks to everyone who made it such a great event. Cheers.
Cheers for coming out. This is great. Cheers for all the tickets. Did everyone get the raffle tickets as well? Yeah. So we got some framed artwork out there, a couple of bags of cans, and we're going to do a raffle for the stale Easter egg later on as well. That's a bit later. But yeah, thanks a million for coming. Deck and Will had other appointments. Poor old Deck is stuck in the brewery at the moment. Will couldn't make it down. The guys are great. They're after stepping in. They were coming in for the beers, I reckon, anyway, and it's great. Myself and Colin actually met doing one of these things in where was it?
Body Tonic,
one of their bars. What was the twist? The Twisted Pepper, and then we went out raving afterwards. And these lads here, sure, we just borrow chemicals off one another every day. So they were coming anyway. So thanks a million for coming. I think you've all been given a bit of Body Riddle. Body Riddles, we haven't actually done a pale ale. For purists, you'll say that rollover is a pale ale, and that's fair enough. But yeah, rollover we put out as a session IPA. We've never actually put out a pale ale. We have done a lot of hoppy beers. It's generally the way we kind of, it's our raison d'etre, kind of just put a lot more hops into things. But we wanted to do a pale ale that was just people's session beer, that was their go-to. So I tried to keep it extra pale, no idea of, you know, caramel or sweet malts or anything like that, something that's super session, but very, very modern. And we were very lucky that we got our hands on hops that generally aren't available to us here in Ireland, hops like Galaxy, like Lemon Drop. We used a lot of Simcoe and we used a lot of Equinox as well. As you can see, it's unfiltered like all our beers. It's got a nice bit of mouthfeel and heft without sweetness, and it just allows all the resin and the flavour of the hops come through. So it is dry hop to high heaven, and it's made the way we normally make our hoppy beers. So I hope you like it, and we have a few more beers on the way out.
Excellent. No, Carl, giving someone the V's there. So, does anyone have any questions for any of the panel at this point? Just, I suppose, just to ease them into it, they've been at various levels of inebriation. Kevin, the end is one step away.
We'll follow with the questions.
Yeah, poor old Dave looks like he's had a long day. What did you all think of the beef tacos with the rollover? I wouldn't normally wear one for goat's cheese, but that was quite nice, to be honest. Not really into the goat's cheese myself. So, Alex, what is Alan like to work with?
So what is Whiplash, basically? Yeah, so what?
Changing nappies.
So you can't do it loud.
So for anyone who doesn't know, Whiplash is the combination of myself and Alan Wolf. Alan, who's there with the suntan and Alan. Whiplash is the project by which we decided to basically set up an offshoot. Both of us actually met working together at Rye River when we started up. Alan was then the operations manager. Alan was my gaffer, and I was a shift brewer who was coming in, and we just kind of, you know, find it over having a lot of beers, going away to Belgium, going away to Germany and stuff on the session. And we kind of decided, because we were making beers at Rye River and we were having great fun with that, and we were making the usual, the reds, the pale ales, the IPAs and the stouts, and they were kind of going, okay, there's an awful lot of places we really want to go, but with our route to market and with how we work there, we generally only get to sell large volumes through pubs and through supermarkets and stuff, and we really wanted to do a project that was just all effectively one-offs. So it gave us great flexibility to effectively only work with independents, off-licenses with independent pubs like this as well, and to make small batches that all these folks can actually get through. So in a way, we can kind of support one another, because it is a mutual relationship between a pub and between a brewery like that. So Whiplash started off with all these ideas of making all these different styles and stuff like that, which we still want to do. But really, why we're making all these hoppy beers is we're grossly over-contracted on quite a lot of hops. So Whiplash has become this black hole of every hop under the sun that every supplier kind of calls me over and says, here, we'll get rid of this, we'll get rid of that. You contracted it ages ago, you had great ideas of what you're going to do with it. And these are all the beers that we really did want to do this stuff with as well. And anything that's new and that's unusual for me as well, I get to draw it down, and that's how we're doing these beers. So for the rest of the summer weather is you know, light beers, hoppy beers, good drinking weather for all of this sort of stuff. So we're just going to continue this all the way through. Now, I know you're having Body Riddle like right now. It's using up a lot of Galaxy, some of our Simcoe, some of our Mosaic, and our Lemon Drop as well. But we'll get on to Saturate in a little bit, which is the real black hole of all of these hops as they're going forward. And we're trying to put our own take on what's really happening around the market. We're seeing a lot of stuff that's coming through from the UK being done in a US style and being done in this interpretation and that interpretation. And we wanted basically an Irish interpretation of these beers as they're going, with all the flexibility that we're allowed to have, not to have a core range, not to have this beer, not to have that beer that we always have to keep on for everybody. Let's just do it one for one, and just do it as we got to normally do.
Nice one. And that's a lovely segue on to Colin. As a publican, how do you feel about breweries that don't operate necessarily with a core range but bring out spanking beers ever so often? And obviously, if you can relate that bit back to maybe Brown Paper Bag and your experience there.
Good. So. No, it is good. What I've noticed, and I was speaking with Adam about this just the other day, I think people have swung, the general public has swung away from constant consumption of always rotating product. I think 70% of, not the people that are here obviously, but 70% of the public are looking for just their Guinness, Heineken, Budweiser owners, whatever substitute, but they want it in a craft beer format, you know. But those people also want to just try different things, just one or two from different breweries. Even, you know, across the industry, I see a lot of people buying one-offs of different things. And I think it's fantastic. I think it's definitely the way to go. Whiplash have been very good in that front. Well done, Whiplash.
All right, yeah. Cheers.
Yes.
So when are we... Brown Paper Bag
project, obviously, one that a lot of people know here.
The original gangsters,
Gypsy Brewers, whatever. You've toured internationally, not just Irish breweries, but you went abroad to brew beers of specific styles for specific breweries. Are we going to see future projects or collaborations with some Irish breweries potentially?
No, so.
You're fucking inspired. Remind me never to have you on a panel again.
Well, I'm having fun.
Yeah, maybe. You know, there's been an awful lot of breweries come out over the last few years, and there's a lot of beer that's been on the market that has been of reasonable quality, and some has been of excellent quality. And I've even seen within ourselves that we can't take it all on. I don't know. I mean, I haven't been inspired in the last wee while to do anything in particular. I haven't really been inspired in the last wee while to go somewhere to do anything in particular. So I'm just kind of waiting for the moment now. There's a kind of the project that we might be doing with the Third Barrel, Stonescape. Futuristic project of space.
Where are we finding those names? Move on.
Well, we might be able to do some sort of small batch, concentrating, very interesting stuff. But scaled back down, I think. For me, the future of the beer that I want to drink is very sort of stripped back and sort of showing the quality of just a few different products, but treated really, really well. And treated like I'm inspired with food, you know, and how good products, and we've seen it in our kitchens in the pub, how a good product can really stand on its own and show its quality and its worth. And I'm going to transfer that a little bit into beer as well, but it's going to take a little bit of time to sort that out. But yeah.
Thanks very much for expanding on your initial answer. So, Dave. How's life down in trouble?
That's it.
I'm going to call it Colin and just say, good.
That is a softball.
Yeah.
For the rest of the year, what have you kind of got planned special-wise?
It's, I suppose, life in trouble is very much made him and her. No.
Just like a flu. That's pretty sexy answer.
We're having a little bit of fun, like Alex is, where we're putting out a new beer every 2 weeks, and it gives us a chance to, I suppose, experiment and broaden the range, and some of those kind of last a little bit longer than the one-offs and stuff, and then maintaining the 4 beers is a bit of a challenge, though, keeping up with that, so we're off and keep it.
Hey there.
Yeah, so I'm still in trouble.
Do you have a talk with Dave Guilfoyle, everybody? Thanks very much. You can go now. So, Kevin, it's been a long time coming. Tell us a little bit.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Are we on?
You just had to. I set you up too easy. So, Third Barrel. Third Circle, Stone Barrel got together, you've opened a brewery in Bluebell. Maybe just tell us a little bit about your plans in terms of world domination and how you're going to introduce your beers to everybody.
And I'll just carry on from Dave's excitement here about brewing. And we're kind of unique in the marketplace. Everybody's heard about collaboration beers. We're actually a collaboration brewery. So I've owned Stone Barrel with Niall for 3.5 years, and John over there has been a year and a half into our circle, so we decided last year to pool our resources, experience, love for beer, and create a new brewery called Third Barrel, which is fantastic. So we've limited experience in brewing, but together we have a huge amount of experience brewing. So what we do now is we brew Stone Barrel beers, we brew Third Circle beers, and we're just about to launch a Third Barrel brand. So the Third Barrel brand is going to be niche, it's going to be high gravity, it's going to be high hop, it's going to be high speciality, it's going to be unbelievable. It's only going to be on a small scale, so we might only get 25 cases, 30 cases here or there. It's been a learning curve, and sharing has been an unusual concept. The lads aren't really used to my stroppy ways yet. Brew on, say, I think it's the thing. I'm a bit of a but it's all good. It is a new concept, and we're going to drive the concept, I think, for the next kind of 5-10 years. Just continually bring out new beer, while brewing our core range as well, which is the first circle of some of our beers.
life's good. Is that a bit more exuberance than Dave had there? I think it was, isn't it? Yeah, much better. Thanks for being so excited. Pass back off to Wayne here. Wayne, back to you. Thanks, Julian.
That's you, Wayne. There you go.
Thank you, Kevin from Bluebell. I suppose, I'm going to throw this out to the panel. Is there any ingredient you wouldn't brew with?
Is there any ingredient I wouldn't brew with? Buckfast.
No, we have to let Yellow Belly defend itself. Wait a minute, Yellow Belly? Oh, they're not here. That's proper.
On to you, Dave.
No.
Cheers for the exuberance there, young Dave.
No, there's nothing you shouldn't brew with it. Well, apart from cocaine and bleach. But brewing should be about expressing yourself, and it's an art form, and people love brewing. So at the end of the day, the beer tastes good. It doesn't matter when you have raisins, black pepper, bread, who gives a shit, cocaine. But it doesn't matter. If it's in the beer and it tastes good and it's not illegal, everybody, it's not a Colombian pale ale. It's all there for the taking, and that's what brewing is, and that's what Whiplash is, and that's what Third Barrel will be. It's about enjoying brewing and brewing good beers, regardless of what's in the beer. Who cares? But it tastes nice.
Thanks again, Dave. Thanks.
So how's everyone finding the body roll, guys?
Yeah, okay. Cool. Let's open it up and let's get people up, yeah. Everyone's got body riddle, yeah?
Yeah. Everyone has body riddle, yeah?
Yeah.
Does it need book fast? Aftershock from Alan. That's a left field suggestion now.
Okay, so look, we'll move on to the Q&A because I'm dying for a few beers after this and just to chat to people one-on-one and stuff like that as well, but I'm sure you've all questions for the panel and stuff like that, so yeah, fire ahead. Wayne, I'll let you manage the Q&A.
Is there a style of beer that you won't brew?
No.
Red ale?
I see what you
did there. No, not beer is beer. Like, beer should be accessible. You brew a beer, and as I said 2 minutes ago, beer, in my opinion, is beer. And if it tastes nice, happy days. Well, I'll say that, though, I think the whole market is the king's been a flash in the pan. But anyway, Alex, on to you.
Hefeweizen, I just don't like them. They're just kind of muddy and overly soft, and they don't have any real definition, and they coat your tongue, and it tastes of loads of banana. And never really liked them unless you were doing something amazing with them. Like, it's just no. That's the only. Yeah, they don't like me. So
I think you're
banned. Yeah. Hefeweizen is my. Over to you, Dave.
No. No, because I think if you actually can find a beer in a style that you don't like, then it's a perfect challenge to make one that you can like. So.
You don't brew beer, so.
Wow, saucer milk for Alex.
So I have a response. Fuck you.
drop it. It's not my mic.
Drop it in there.
Okay, all right, sorry. Go.
I will say, Alex, you actually never really answered the question about what it's like to work with Alan. You just kind of wandered off and talked about hops.
Yeah, okay. What's it like to work with Alan? He's a very intelligent teenager. Who's older than me, but it's that fine line between someone who's incredibly professional when he turns it on and then can just flip to just mooning you in a meeting or flipping you off when he walks by a bit of glass, or it's just that every day, like, and it's the only way it was ever going to work, really, because that's me. And you know, he was great at like fighting me from all types of professional situations where I was meant to, you know things about things, and Alan was always understanding that, oh, he's the guy who just kind of works in the brewery and he just hangs around with like all these steel tanks and just does weird shit, and you know, he's worked himself into this you work yourself into a profession where it's okay for you to drink beer at any time of the day. And they kind of understand that, you know, you've already gotten away with murder, just leave them off in a corner, like, you know, and that's their life from now on, you know. So, yeah, Alan's one of the few people who just genuinely understands that. So, yeah, that's what it's like to work with. He'll generally embarrass you, but weirdly at times he's the more structured and professional out of the two. So that's how we do it.
So it's a lot of fun with the moderate amount of sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Has anyone else got any questions for the panel? Or any questions at all?
To Dave and Kev? I kind of half know the answer to this already, but for the benefit of everyone else, any sign of trouble or stone/third barrel to come out in cans? Because I'd say graffiti or even boom would work quite well in that format.
It's definitely something we're looking at. It's definitely something we're looking at. Potentially needs a little bit more consideration from us, and I don't think producing the same beer that we already have in bottle and can would benefit, so might look at another couple of beers. We have an extensive draft range where we only have 6 bottles, you know, so it may or may not happen in the future.
Sorry for waking you up there, Dave. It's been a running argument in our, constructive conversation in our brewery all the time as whether to go into cans or not, and I can see the benefit of both. We currently do 500 mil bottles, which is great, but we are toying with the idea, and me and Niall sat down last week, and it could be a possibility that we may have a beer in the can within the next maybe 6 weeks or so. And we go with the flow. But the beauty about this business is that it doesn't need to be the same, and we can do what we want. So, you know, buy the cans, and there'll be more. If you don't buy the cans, we'll still be in bottles. Life's good. No, end of story. Back to you, Wayne, in the studio.
I think everyone's kind of getting ready for the big boy. Adam, are we ready for the saturate yet?
Yeah, start to be ready.
Kevin's had enough. Has everyone finished their riddle? Bar riddle.
I'm sure they can handle the next beer.
And Melissa Cole with a question.
So one of the hot topics in both the UK, the US, and mostly more developed markets at the moment is where the saturation point is. So what do you guys think that's going to happen in Ireland?
That was a well-placed question for a lot of reasons. So thank you. So
that's
what
a great segue, Melissa.
Oh, that was so good. So you're being given saturate at the moment. But I mean, do you mean saturation in terms of how many craft breweries or how many beers are out? Are we using the C word? Are we talking craft?
It's a bollocks question, sure. So how many breweries can we sustain is generally how that comes up per capita, how does it work like that? The thing is, particularly with Ireland, like we have a beer culture, we have a long standing beer culture. It's not something that's new to us, like the Italians or the Spanish or you know people if you go to markets like Ireland, we're currently at 2% of the overall volume market, independent producers. But if you go to a city like Portland, Oregon, where they have a similar type of population to the whole Ireland of Ireland, 70-80% of the beer that's drank is independent beer. So Ireland is a throw-up as to what way it's going to go. I mean, nobody's really certain what way it's going to go. So we don't have to look at ourselves in terms of the states. We don't have to say that, you know, oh, it's only going to get to 10%, because keep in mind, you know, the states is a country of 360 million people, many of whom won't drink, many of whom live in areas where it's just like, it's just not the thing, and you know, and they'll have microcosms of stuff that works like that. Honestly, I think we can support hundreds and hundreds of breweries, have a brewery on every corner, and it will generally work like that, but it's only when we're given space to do so, when we're able to approach a bar and the bar is independent and the lines are available and that shelf space is available with an independent producer, we have to be able to sell our beers to people in certain places, and that's really important. That's a constant unseen battle that people constantly see in the industry, but never get to really openly talk to people about, because it just gets ugly and nobody really wants to do that. And it's, we've friends on either side of it, but we need to have a very, very open an open market that we can actually sell to people and sell to people locally. The taproom legislation that hopefully is going to come in during the summer is going to open up this whole thing as well. We should see more brew pubs in Dublin and Cork and Galway and Limerick, and that's, you know, people should be able to go meet a brewer, taste a beer from them, and that's how the industry is properly going to grow.
I think.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think there's if we've got 2% of the population, or 2% of the market saturation, like that's really small. Over the last 5 years, there's been a jump from 25 to 100 breweries. And a lot of the breweries that I talk to, like, you know, sometimes I ask them, well, can I get your beer in draft or whatever?
Can
like,
you just tap Adam for one for Alex?
At a place where saturate. I'm just doing the local community. That's pretty cool. I think that's where I don't think the metropolitan area is necessarily where the clawback of percentage is going to be, because, you know, it just isn't. I think that the country, the local breweries, are going to find that their occupancy of market place is going to be much, much larger as they sort of get, meet their community and go, yeah, this is your local beer. Because I think that's important. I think that's a foothold that each brewery should have. Is brewing a beer to their community.
How are you going
to
do it?
And I think they're starting to do that in Ireland. I mean, you look at Germany, everywhere is about that. Even France now is quite about that. Spain, North Spain, all about that. Ireland hasn't really had that because of, Guinness. It's just... everybody likes a pint of Guinness and doesn't trust anything that isn't Guinness. For example,
I think I bought the tap version,
many years ago, and he was like, "Oh, I only drink Guinness," and I bought him the pints, the North Star, the regular Guinness glass, and he drank it and he was like, "Oh, this is lovely." And then I gave him a sip out of my North Star brand and sucked it like, "Oh, Jesus, you're a marketer's dream, Colin, a marketer's dream." But of course, he was drinking the same stuff, so it was in his head. Now, if you get the people to move away from that brainwashing, then I think the future of breweries in Ireland is very, very strong. Yes, that's my thought. Yes.
I suppose I kind of agree with what both Colin and Alex have been saying. I come from the Midlands, where a pub like this would not be seen, a selection like this wouldn't be seen. if you were lucky in a big town, you might have one tap. You know, and there's a huge market kind of, while Dublin may look and seem, Dublin, Galway, Cork may look and seem kind of saturated in terms of everybody wants to be there. But you get down
to... That's why
you
pick saturated, isn't it?
Commission. Yeah. You get down into kind of the Midlands, rural Ireland, and you could be 20 pubs in a town, and if you have one craft tap, you're doing very well. You know, so there's huge growth, there's huge potential, while there's a lot of breweries out there, and some of them are doing a very good job on just focusing and opening, and then you can think that there's, like, while there's 92% of the market, there's a lot of the areas around the country that were way below 2 points of market, you know, and that's where the growth is. And they're a tough crowd to try to convince as well. As punchies, as rednecks, where, you know, we don't like change. You know, so. No, I think Ireland is just hard. Borbia had said that 100 breweries in Ireland at the saturation point, we'd peak that. But we definitely haven't peaked the potential sales volume across the country that is there for the taking. So.
Well, let's say you're
Arian scouts. Saturation point. I've been at saturation point since about half four today. But no, I don't think we're out. If you look at Ireland as a whole, there's so many pubs, and 90% of those have craft beer. We have a lot of craft breweries now selling into a limited amount of craft beer pubs, which is, it's tough. We're not in competition yet, but soon there will be. Soon there will be. But what we need to do is we need to raise awareness of independent microbrew beer in Ireland and push it into all the pubs. Like, if you look at the States, are at 20%. UK's at 15%, we're at 3%. We've a long way to go. We will have a few casualties. I'm hoping they're not one of them. Dave will definitely one of them. That would be about 4 hours, I'd say.
2 hours.
Okay. But no, we're not a saturated point. Ireland supports the craft beer industry. We're making an absolutely fantastic beer. I made a comment earlier on when it was to the craft beer post saying there's no need for American beer to come up here. We've no need for American beers in Ireland anymore. It's such a great opportunity. And look, long may it last, long may it last. Once we keep on getting the hops involved, we'll keep on going, and I think it'll be fantastic. And there you go. And by the way, when your 3-year-old calls on your phone, it doesn't matter where you are, you have to run and answer the last by the little explanation. Thanks very much.
Okay, so we're gonna start wrapping it up because drink. Oh, sorry. Yeah, do you want to have a go there?
So, say if you were, or when you are introducing a brand new country, how do you compete in prices? How do you compete on prices? So, when you're introducing it down the country.
When you're introducing it to another country.
No, down the country or anywhere.
Yeah. So the question was, how do you compete with prices when you're introducing it down the country? Is that to the cultures? Sorry, Dave. Around the country, I know what you mean. Look, I've discussed this before. I've brought out beers that were. I've done the math on it. I have briefly worked in macro. Alan's worked in macro as well. Like Saturate, for instance, the beer that you have now. I know for a fact that Saturate cost me in the region of 2,000 to 4,000% more than a keg of macro beer would actually cost them, and really in reality you're only going to end up paying about 40% more for an 8% double IPA that's hopped at, you know, 20 grams a litre, you know. I mean, the margins are there. It's not that you can't compete, it's just that somebody else is making horrific margins. Basically, there has to be a margin there, but somebody else is making an awful lot more money than we are. That's the only difference. We can, but we don't need to compete. We should never have to compete on their price level. We just compete, we put a reasonable margin on there for everyone to get along, for everyone to survive. and make sure that you're getting something that's far more far better quality. Like I said, you're getting 1,000% more of what it costs me to make than what it costs them to make, and you're only paying sometimes only 20% more of the bar, 30% more, 40% more. The value is there, so I mean,
sorry,
we're
sorry,
never going to compete on price, and we should never have to compete on price. Our quality is something that's completely different, and if someone looks at the two and is tight for money, just go for the one that you can afford. That's not what it's about. If you have the time and you decide to drink two of my beers, or on a different night I'll drink five of the other beers, fine, just drink what you need to drink, and that's absolutely fine. But you know, it's up to each person to actually go in and to decide for themselves what they have. The whole thing about this is that you now have a choice.
You want us to do the raffle now as well?
What we can put out. And that's always been there. And that's,
yeah, we'll
that will always be there. And they need to be
sorry?
There. And that's fine for everybody. And that's, I hope that answers your question.
I just have a follow on to that actually. Like, so if you were pulled. Thank you for clapping for the introduction of my talk. Appreciate that very much. Like, if you were put down the country and you're doing 80% Guinness, Heineken, Bulmers, Budweiser, whatever, even, it's going to be 95%. So 5% of your sales of your craft beer, 5% is not huge. It probably even wouldn't be that, it'd be 1%. So what you're doing, if even, so what you're doing by putting in rum, maybe two taps at a reasonable price point, is you're engaging the customer in something that's new and different. Now, your margins and your ultimate profitability isn't going to be affected that much, really. So by introducing a price point that's reasonable to the customer, you're setting your store, you're setting your customer up for future sales. So you could introduce another line and go, well, actually, this is saturated by whiplash. You know, it comes in a 355 mil glass and it's €6, but
yeah, the panel.
You know what quality is like. Because you educated them on what quality beer is. So that's the future. It's not trying to feeding back into what Alex said. It's not trying to compete on price. Competing on price is a fool term. You know? It's about competing on a quality, perception, and people's ability to perceive both of those things. That'd be my response.
Just with Andrew's question, I think it was a bit more what he actually meant was. Yeah. No. It was a great answer. It was just a different question. We're living in Dublin, we're both in the country.
Yeah.
Country. Midlands. when we go back home and we talk to our friends about we drink whatever beer we drink, and they will be kind of stuck to the same Heineken, Carlsberg, you know. But how do you try and grow that market in a way from that, as opposed to, like, we're telling them, you know, whatever, but it's easier for us living in Dublin, it's more accessible, but how do you kind of relate your pricing to that, as opposed to a Dublin market, let's say?
So, if I'm right, sorry, yourself and Andrew saying, you know, how do you bring people around who are, you know, very brand loyal? Is that correct?
Like I said, like, if you make it cheaper for people who are living in a smaller.
Do we make it cheaper for people who are living in a smaller area?
Yeah, but for example, sorry.
Yeah.
I know it's on a completely bigger scale. You would pay €5 euro towards for a pint of Guinness, whereas in the country it'd be three or something. I know that's humongous, and they can afford the margin difference.
Yeah.
But how do you try and incorporate that into your product?
Well, we sell the same way as, you know, if you're talking about Guinness and their prices, how it's a different price in a different part of the country and it's a different price here. They sell a keg at the same price everywhere else. So, I mean, the difference is going to be the same for our beers as it is for theirs. When you get into different areas, I mean, it's, it depends on the rent, it depends on their costs as well. Like, so, you know, the margins and the percentages more that you pay are relational to, you know, the public indirectly, So, I mean, they have lots of, the big boys have lots of tricks into making the beer cheaper and stuff, and they can give you a free keg if you clean their lines and stuff like that. That's fine, that's fair.
What tricks have you got?
Well, we don't have any tricks. The only tricks I have is by going
absolutely balls to the wall of dry hopping a beer like I just did, like, you know. So I mean, if you want it, you can have it, you know. And yeah, so I should actually talk about Saturate. You've all had Saturate. We're finally getting onto it. Is it okay?
Yeah.
John is really into Mosaic, so I've gotten a thumbs up from John because it's an absolute good. It's fine. It's passed the John test. That's great. I know. Yeah. So Mosaic is a double IPA. It's the first. Thanks, man. It's the first of what we're calling like a Saturate series. I mean, they're going to have different names, but just so you know, the 440 cans. Are all going to be done in effectively the same way. We're picking a single hop most of the time, and we're going at 20 grams plus per liter. We're dry hopping it. Saturate is done in 4-stage dry hop. Normally you just do one and you do it for a couple of days. We dry hop it in 4 stages over about 5 or 6 days, and it's done with a special fruity house yeast. It's done with just marisola, wheat and oats, so it gives it a lovely fluffy texture to the beer as well. And it gets a really, it begins quite fruity. It has all of that mosaic, and then it finishes very resiny, and it finishes almost dank as well, which is what I like. But one of the main things that I think people are, you know, mentioning back to me is that they hold it up, and it's not as hazy as, you know, beers that they've been getting from guys over in the States or from Quailwater. And simply that's because there's no polyphenol in the beer. It's not made with added flour, or, you know, it's not hopped at the beginning of fermentation. It's done the right way, and your beer should generally drop right if it's done in a certain way. That's not to say I won't release a hazier and hazier beer, that's fine, but it just depends on the malts that we get from week to week and how that's going to perform. And I just wanted to kind of prove that you can make such a hazy beer, such a hoppy beer, without that level of haze. It's just not necessary all the time. It's up to the malt most of the time. It's not the actual, the haze doesn't have a lot to do with the flavour. You can do something like this, you can deliver that same hop flavour, and you can give something that's a bit more well-rounded and has a bit more clarity in the actual delivery of that as well. So there you go, Saturate. I hope you like it. Enjoy that. We hope to have drafts, but the actual dry hopping rate actually kicked us in the arse. And when we went to put like a keg out of the tank after we were finished canning it, there was no more beer left, and the hops had its way with it. So I'm sorry about that. We'll plan for it a little bit better next time. The guys have cans here at the bar, and just come up, we have Saturate here from cans. I'm sure it's a mini keg anyway, so it's the same thing anyway. So I hope you like it. Thank you very much. So I want to thank Colin. I want to thank Kev. I want to thank Dave, who's just, guys, he's gone to bed. And Wayne, thank you very much. Wayne, we have a small present for Wayne as well. If Alan's around, he's going to bring it over to us as well. But we're going to start the raffle for the Easter egg, the stale Easter egg. We have it from last year. Someone has to get it. We're also going to start a raffle for a bag of cans as well. So we have a few bags of cans, a pre-release and a bag of cans, the original bag of cans. And we also have two framed, signed artworks from our designer, Sophie DeVere. She's signed them. These are only the two really that we're giving out. We'll start off with the bag of cans, and then we'll work our way up to the signed signed artwork. How's that? Yeah. Okay, have we got... Oh, okay, thank you, Wayne. Do I pick a row, or do I pick an actual ticket off a row? Okay, all right, I'll go to the box. I'm going to the box. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, my God, it's row number 226 and 230. It's a blue ticket. Actually, no, I misread that. It's row number 91.
No. Okay, all right. Row 226 to 230 for a bag of cans. Thank you. Have we got a bag of cans for the gentleman? Is there a bag of cans? Who brought the bag of cans? We got a bag of cans now. Thank you very much. Next bag of cans over to you, Dave.
Oh,
126 to 130. It's a blue ticket.
Jamie.
126 to 130.
We've got a winner. You win a bag of cans. Gemma, thank you very much. Give your name to the gentleman here at the bar. They'll get you a nice bag of cans. Thank you.
You get my name,
Gemma. Okay.
What is your name?
Dave.
Now.
Probably only one Dave in the room.
I'd say so.
Stop.
Don't tell anybody.
Hey! 181 to 185.
181 to 185. Bag of cans.
We've got one here.
Adam. Up there.
You want a bag of cans? Yeah. You want a bag of cans?
Cans. As you can see. And we've got one final huge big bag of cans for the last one, okay? So, who's picking?
Where is the ticket?
Wayne.
186 to 119.
The 190, huge big bag of cans. 186 to 119. Same
It's always out in the session out tonight, fair play. Okay, so the big one. So we have for the framed artwork, we'll go with Body Riddle first. So the artwork for Body Riddle signed and framed, and there we go. Alan, do you want it? Alan?
Let's go 133. And also, let's go 131.
Huh? Are you going to get the
and 130 fucking five?
The raffle's finished.
Before it's 131 to 135.
Just say, just come to the bar to get your surrenders of voids.
Yeah.
He's not getting a bag of cans,
buddy. He's at the bar now. Like, some people are, a couple of people weren't with the fucking thing. So just tell them,
lads,
at the bar, sons of
I've never been this happy.
Be a round of sorbetto after this.
Take your top off.
Fish tacos.
Okay.
So the fish tacos are going in. You need to try the
and
fish
your
tacos.
Pants.
It's unbelievable. So then, so just surrender to the void and sorbetto.
Okay, so
lemon and yeah, you have it.
Okay, Ian. So
that's
they have
coming out now.
Chained them over here because they knew the crowd we were going to get this evening. So you've won a framed artwork piece of Body Riddle. Congratulations, thank you very much. Give Ian a round of applause, please. Yes. Okay, and the final one for Saturate.
We'll come out in about 10-15 minutes.
Framed artwork of
Saturate. To the void when they're finished.
Whenever you're ready. 261 to 265. 261, 265. Anyone? 261, 265. A last chance. 261 to 265. Okay, we're going again. All right. You pick it there, Wayne. Okay, we're in the lows, all right. 61 to 65. Oh, for real? 61-65. No? Come on again. For the frames, artwork of Saturate, signed by Sophie De Beer. No, hang on. No, piss off. Oh, we're in the trees. 331 to 335. That's fine. Definitely not a fix. It's not a fix. John Duffy, congratulations. That's all. If you come to enough of these things, you're going to win one. Okay, right. Thanks very much. Oh, we have a sale Easter egg. We don't actually have a sale. We asked Enter. They didn't have any left. So, so thanks very much. Folks, we're going to wrap this up. I'll be hanging around.
God damn it.
And thanks for coming. I'll be floating around and we'll have chats and all that sort of thing, so thanks a million. Finally, we have some samples coming out from the bar. Adam and the guys are going to give you out samples of Surrender to the Void, and that really kicked it off for us as well, which is fantastic. And we won, thankfully, from maybe some of your members here, they voted Beer of the Year last year, which we were absolutely delighted about. So guys, enjoy your Surrender. Thanks for joining us. I know it was a lot of hustle and bustle and stuff there, so thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the beers. We're having a bag of cans party tomorrow down in Stony Barrow. Don't tell the guards. So thank you very much. Enjoy your night. Thank you for joining us.
Bless her for the panel, everybody. Hibbert. Just a quick housekeeping thing. If you want to surround and survive, you can make your way down to the bar instead of waiting for the samples to come to you. And there is one last sorbetto to come out to cleanse your palate before you get absolutely fucking annihilated. But thanks very much. It's been a great audience. Thanks for your questions. Thanks for your participation. Have a good one.
And most importantly, we'd like to thank Adam and everyone here at Tap House for putting on such a good spread. The food, the beer, everything is from the guys here. I mean, yeah, they couldn't be better. You know. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Have a good night. Thank you.